Hey everybody, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 464. This is your host tonight, Eric Ardini. I almost said the Silicon Wrench. Boy, that's a throwback. The manager, and I've got just the door-to-door geek. Mark is... Did you guys hear about that bridge that fell down in Atlanta? He still hasn't got out of that traffic jam. So as soon as he makes it home and they figure out how to reroute the already horrible Atlanta traffic, we'll have him back. We didn't really actually hear from him. His phone battery died. His car battery died. Melting PVC just was not a great idea for that town.
Honestly, I haven't heard from him for over a week. Me not watch any news. I don't pay attention to any news whatsoever. I haven't been doing my Google Assistant good morning thing, so I haven't heard any news there either. I did listen to his last episode of Geek Rant, but I believe that was...
From his car.
A week. I believe that was over a week ago when that was recorded. So I don't know when the last time I've actually heard from him.
Well, we hope the best for him. Mark, let us know when you find a new route to work and home. I don't know how you get through it. The only time anybody would want to go through Atlanta, Georgia is like, you know, 2 a.m. And then you get a smaller traffic jam.
Well, I hope he was forced to chip in towards an office pool to buy Powerball tickets. And he actually won, you know, like $8 million. And he just is, you know, figuring out his money and where he's going to live. And he's just being quiet right now.
Yeah,
that's what I
hope.
You
say forced because I think he's smart enough to... I don't think he would have ever gotten in one, knowing him.
Well, right. Well, that's what I mean. They would have to literally peer pressure him into pitching in.
It was like his birthday, and they put in for him without him knowing. And then later, oh, yeah, by the way, we put in for you when we all won millions.
Right. Congratulations.
There you go. Everybody would do that, right? It's just the way people are.
Yeah, sure. It's what plants crave. How have you been doing, Eric?
I've been really super busy. Everybody should come out to Rock Falls, Illinois in the end of July for our 150th anniversary sesquicentennial celebration, because we're 150 years young. How old's Joppa, Maryland, Dor?
Well, realistically, Joppa, Maryland, this area, used to be the number one port harbor in Maryland before a horrible hurricane forced sand to be rearranged. Thus, Baltimore sprung up. So older than Baltimore.
Wow. Yeah. So you got a couple years on us, I think.
Well, considering, you know, we were one of the 13 and, you know, Delaware right there around the corner, where now all there is screen door factories and cardboard box factories.
But hey, yeah. Everybody needs a screen door. You gotta keep the mosquitoes out.
I've been complaining to the wife for 9 years now, how badly I want a screen door on the house, or a storm door. We call it out here because, you know,
it's like two big panes of glass that goes from the top to the bottom that you could open up if you want.
Here's one thing. The strip of grass between the sidewalk and the road. Mm-hmm.
The easement.
That's one of the things. In the United States, it's called, I believe, 18 different things. And when somebody asks you what you call it, they can identify what part of the United States that you're from. Because it's called different things.
What do you call that?
I honestly cannot remember now that I say it out loud, but I know it's like that. And that's the same way. We call it here a storm door, and other people call it a screen door. And there's like four or five different names. But I've been wanting one so bad because I want to be able to open up this sliding glass door with a screen, open up the front door with the screen in that one, and just let the air flow through. But, you know,
yeah,
I digress. That's what I want. But yeah, and that's the thing. Send an email to aaa@podnuts.com. Tell us what you call the strip of grass between there's your front door, there's your front yard, there's a sidewalk, there's that patch of grass, and then there's the road. What is that patch of grass between the sidewalk and the road? Tell us what you guys
call. Well, I mean, until I bought this house, I never had that patch of grass or a sidewalk on any of the houses I lived at. So, but being in government, the legal description, I mean, here we call that an easement, because that's the easement that the city has to put all of their buried electric fiber pipes.
Well,
all that stuff is in that easement.
Well, and in other, and in some places, like here, it's my responsibility to mow.
Well, it's ours too. Yeah. It's the homeowner's responsibility to mow it, though you don't have any control over what happens in it.
Well, yes, but also I'm given the privilege to be able to put my mailbox there. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It's a very unique set of rules that govern it, where it's not mine, but it is mine, but it's not mine.
And honestly, yeah. The land that I own under my house and next to my house and around my house is not mine, if you think about it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's, I think, like, it's mine. I seem to pay for
well,
it.
Well, right. That's like me telling my son, you don't own that shirt. That shirt's mine. You don't own nothing. You don't own nothing. Everything that is yours is mine. Because I try to explain to him, you're not legally old enough to be accountable for anything. So in the eyes of the law, you can't own anything. Same kind of thing. I'm not rich enough to own this land. Somebody else owns it. I just signed an agreement that they're letting me stay here.
And if I don't pay taxes on it, they'll take it back.
Or if I don't make payments.
I mean, even if I owned it outright, I don't own it.
Right.
So yeah, I digress. Our mailboxes are right on our house. Right on the, you know, I don't know. They got to walk up all of those steps to get to my mailbox every day.
Right. Yeah, that's how my dad's neighborhood is here. We have them literally right by the road, and it was, the logic is so they can just drive right up to it, I guess. The other, I think, thing that might have changed, Eric, I can't remember now. Time is a blur. You know, the fact that I'm sipping a Monster has nothing to do with that. But I've been diagnosed with diabetes, so things in my life has changed. Stresses and pressures have changed. Dietary restrictions have changed. But one of the things that I got to tell you, Android.
Well, you know, I'm going to freak out less watching you give yourself shots of stuff now.
I don't give myself shots.
Okay.
No, I just eat right. And I don't need an app for it. To me, this is the beauty of Android. I'm now going to say Charlie instead of the word Google. I say, okay, Charlie. And I say, like, I can even say brand names and stuff. I can say, Bob Evans Cobb Salad nutritional information. I can say anything.
Really?
And it basically, and in like one click after that, I get the exact, you know, sugars, carbs, calories, blah, 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 for almost anything I can imagine, and no app needed. This is one of the things about Android. There are certain things that it doesn't matter if they create an app for, it's almost pointless. And the example I'll use is like a timer app, alarm app, clock apps. For 99.999999% of the population, whatever is on your phone is good enough. Now, there are people with special needs. I want to know the time in my time zone and 14 others because of business or whatever. Or I want to do a timer, but I need to have 8 timers running at once because of this. But for most of the people, it just works fine. And this is what I'm finding out. Everywhere I'm at, all I need to do is just say, okay,
G-Dog. Charlie. Can we say G-Dog instead or something?
I don't know. It might be the same amount of syllables, which is bad. And I can say anything from broccoli, new nutritional info, or garbanzo beans, or, you know, anything. And that has been, this is the kind of thing, if this was 15 years ago, I'm pretty sure I would have died by now from diabetic shock, because not realizing all the stuff that I couldn't eat. You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of nice that we bought in to Google. I mean, that's because we bought into the infrastructure of Google.
See? Your phone just beeped, didn't it?
Did. She's See? Asking how
Charlie,
how can I
Charlie,
help?
You bought into Charlie.
I'm not buying into Charlie. Wow, you're right, you though. I mean, I didn't even say the trigger word, though.
Doesn't matter. This is why the Moto X was still, in my opinion, the best phone ever made, because you could change the trigger word. How likely are you to say, okay, Jarvis? You know what I mean? And with your, you know what I mean? So I'm still upset by that.
Okay, obviously. Jeff. No, I don't. Hopefully that's coming. Like, I want to say G-Dog.
No.
I want to say okay,
no,
G-Dog.
No, it's never coming again. It's never coming again. The day's gone. Nobody's been making the chips anymore. Nobody's putting the chips in anything anymore.
That's software, though. Period. It's software. They could change
it. No, it's hardware. No, it's hardware. That was the reason why the Moto X was the only one that could do it, because they literally said, we have a special chip in here, an extremely low-power chip that is able to do the custom voice commands kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm going to call it Ugle Gay, then.
Well, I would happily pay more money for
it. Yeah, that's cool. Make that an opt-up. I would opt up for that.
Yeah. And if the phone doesn't blow up in your pocket, you know, it's kind of a plus.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of hot phones, so Bill Miller, thank you, Bill Miller. Awesome. Yeah. If you guys aren't following Bill Miller on Google Plus and you are into technology and all kinds of stuff, he will fill your inbox of Google Plus with cool stuff. But
and I'll say this, you're assured to not miss a damn thing.
Right. Yes. Right. Period. That's true. So he had sent me a Google, or not, so I said it again, but she didn't turn on that time. He had sent me a Samsung Gear VR. Now, he sent it to me, unfortunately, like a week after I gave the Note 4 to my son. So I never, I'm like, here you go. This is the thing that phone was built for. Here you go, check it out. So, all right, whatever. I never used it. And I'm like, come in, hey, how's that Gear VR thing working? Do you like the 3D? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. But he never really said much, you know, and I'm like, okay, I guess he just doesn't like me or whatever, you know. Well, it comes out, the Note 4 gets an update. And I feel sorry for anybody who's trying to actually use the Note 4 for their daily driver as a phone. And if they do, the next episode, I'll give you tips and tricks on how to make that phone work. Because the stock update and the stock update and the stock update, three in a row, make that phone just boot loop. And freeze up for no reason and overheat for no reason and drop your battery in like 10 minutes for no reason.
You say for no reason. I'll claim for a very obvious reason.
To buy a new
phone. Because they want you to go buy a new phone.
Okay. So next week, it won't be next week, but it'll be the next episode that I'm on because I'm going to be out of town next week. I will tell you how to fix that one because I'm not exactly sure how I did, but there's only two things I did which totally fixed it. And then two is I didn't realize that when the Gear VR came out for consumers, it was different than the developer's edition that people bought early. As in, the Note 4 didn't fit in the consumer version when they brought it out for $100. So I messed with it. I'm like, man, this thing just isn't fitting on here. I felt like I was scratching the phone. I felt I was breaking the Gear VR. And then I finally did a search on the GDog. And it came up, it wasn't made for it. So I took out the clippers, side snips, and I modified, sorry, Bill, I hope you don't want it back. I modified the case of the outside of the Gear VR to take the edges out, the corners, because the Note 4 corners kind of got in the way. And that's all I had to do really was the corners. And I flattened them all out, put it in there, and it works perfectly. It's odd because you can't really turn the Oculus stuff on unless it's docked into that headset. It's something, there's something with the USB connection that makes it turn itself on, and you can't even download the software until it's docked on there. But anyway, I'm going to bring a bunch of good Gear VR games and apps and stuff like that next time along with the fixes and how to do that. I don't know how I started on that.
I don't know, but I'll say the one thing that I heard that I thought was disappointing about all of the VR stuff was how painfully hot the devices could
get. That's how we started. Yes. Oh, so that's it. Yeah. If you are into the VR usage for any more than 5 to 10 minutes, a thing will come up and says, hey, your Oculus is overheating. Acknowledge this or turn it off. And so I just acknowledge it and keep going. And it says it does reduce. I think it probably throttles it down so that it's not as high res or not as many frame rates. And you can kind of tell on some of the apps, but it's still usable for me. And it keeps going for a while.
Gotcha. Yeah, that seems one of those sad, I don't want to say sad truths about VR, but none of the hardware, it seems like, because even the Pixel, I believe, suffers from heat things. None of the hardware that we have, even when specifically designed for VR, can actually do VR for any length of time. Yeah,
there's this cover that goes over your device, and I've seen people have mounted fans in this and then wired them in somehow just to keep blowing on the phone.
I bet you that helps.
Yeah,
probably. I bet you it helps. Yeah.
You know what this show is, Dor? This is the show where we bring apps. It's called Android App Addicts. So, do you have an app?
Sure, yeah. The first app I'm going to bring has nothing to do with United Airlines, number one.
Okay.
But it is a plane thing, but it's also a Capcom game. It's one of those old school games that was literally a arcade game. And when I say arcade game, one of the most classic of classic arcade games that they're bringing to Android. It does have the number one repetitive complaint about Capcom games on Android, which is they dedicate a percentage of the screen and remove the game screen and put controls on that part of the screen. Right now it's $1.99. It's called 1942 Mobile. No video in the Play Store. Nudge, nudge. And it's basically top-down view, overhead view, World War II style plane combat. You basically go around, you do loops to avoid, bang, 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 get upgrades, shoot, 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 destroy, destroy, destroy. Classic, classic game. It's $1.99. I really do wish it was 99 cents, but, you know.
That's what it is. Is this where you... Do you also drop bombs on targets down below you on this game? Or is that a different game I was thinking?
I honestly want to say that's 1943. If we take a look at the screenshot, here's the indicator that it isn't that game. Okay. Because in that game, slightly ahead of the plane, there was a crosshair.
Yes, yeah.
And when you hit the bomb, that's where that crosshair is where the bomb landed. So I'm going to say no, This is not the crosshair
bomb. This is all air-to-air combat.
I think.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, everybody's our age has played this game.
Oh yeah. Huh. Well, this is confusing.
What?
Something else that broke on my computer operating system. Control Shift and V used to be paste without formatting, which is a little trick I learned actually from Hank Green, who is a YouTube quote unquote celeb. Which was really nice. So when I wanted to copy large, bold, stupid-looking text and paste it into the spreadsheet as just simple text, Control-Shift-V used to be able to do that, and now it's not working anymore.
It does does nothing, or it pastes it with the formatting?
It pastes nothing, and so which means I have to paste it someplace else normally that converts it down to stupid text, like the address bar of my browser. This is great. I love it when stuff breaks.
Poor Dor. It's been a rough day for Dor today. Ever since we started the podcast, or before we started the podcast, he's just been dealing with a bunch of issues.
Well, it started Tuesday night with Linux for the Rest of Us, which hasn't been published as of this date and time. Then last night, Mini PC Show didn't get any better because I completely nuked and paved, thinking that might fix it, and that didn't fix it. So, you know.
Well,
great.
Well, I was seeing little blips from Brian starting to hang out last night, so I was wondering what was going on with that.
Apparently, Google is changing something. If you log out of your Google account and then just go into log into your Google account, if you take a look below the username password box that pops up, it says something like this login page is going to change here really soon. I really hope they adopt a more secure way of doing stuff, like not username password, maybe mandatory two-factor authentication or something like Squirrel maybe they're working on. I don't know. Squirrel is a Steve Gibson secure login system. But also Google Drive, every single permission in my Google Drive got reset to where nobody can access anything anymore. I got to go in and reestablish access. My InSync syncing tool for my Google Drive, I had to re-authenticate. That stopped working. My if this then that plus Gitpocket automatic bookkeeping, bookmarking, saving in spreadsheet system also broke. So there's a lot of changes that are coming here to Google, at least on the back end. And unfortunately, it's at the same time when other stuff on my computer go boom. So
on the 18th, and maybe I don't know if this corresponds with any of the other Google stuff, but on the 18th, we get all new Google Earth in anticipation of Earth Day on the 22nd. We get the new
Google. That's great. Well, also in a day or two, and I believe it might be the 18th as well, is when Google Hangouts, something about Google Hangouts will die.
Yeah, all third-party.
Google Hangouts will die.
Third-party plugins will die, right?
Well, but there is something else that in Google Hangouts will die. I can't remember what it was.
Is it SMS?
No more SMS. Yeah.
Now, even for Project 5 people too or not? Because
I believe for everybody.
Because last I heard that Project 5 people were going to get to still keep it.
It would be nice, and if that tell you right now is an incentive for people to just join Project 5. Yeah,
which that is my go-to SMS app on my Project 5 phone. Well, we'll find out. April 18th is a big day for them.
Great.
Following up on Doors' 1942 app, I'm going to bring something just for him. Sometimes when you're out in the real world and reality is hitting you and you're just walking around, it's too much and you just need to tone it down. This app is called 8-Bit Photo Lab Retro Effects. So basically you can turn your camera into a really crappy one with all kinds of ways to make your pictures look more 8-bit. And there's tons of filters, 8-bit type filters that you can take pictures of with. I took a picture of my office earlier today and sent it to Door, and he thought my camera was broke. That's how 8-bit it is. It's that good.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what, yeah. I was really confused, Eric, because Eric just said, hey, this is my office right now, or something like that. And I'm thinking, well, it looks like crap. What happened?
Well.
Just because I didn't know.
Sometimes reality is just too much. Got to take it down to low pixel density.
Right. And I'll say, after he told me, I said, looked at it again, said, yeah. And my vision, you know, sucks. So after he said that, then I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Okay, gotcha.
And I went through about half a dozen filters just to see if I could find one where my Android App Addict cup could be possibly made out as an Android App Addict coffee cup. I think I failed. You didn't recognize it. So you weren't looking for it.
Well, I wasn't sure what I was looking for. Here's one of the features about this app that I actually do really like, because I did look at it. When taking the picture, for instance, some of the color palettes, pattern algorithms you can put against the pictures is called Game Boy and NES. So it's basically using the color palettes available to those things. That is really cool, because if anyone remembers Game Boy, it had a very distinctive green, gray, black combination. NES had a very subset of colors available to it. And there's even one called 3D 13 Pixel, which looks really interesting. Just to see the kind of effects you can get, honestly, this is kind of cool. Like in their screenshots, one of them is, I believe, San Francisco. And that kind of picture to me looks awesome. It isn't artsy. It isn't fartsy. It's just, you know, 8-bit.
Yeah. You know, fun to play with. You know, sometimes you get bored. Or you want to make a background for something that's retro. You can easily do that. Like if you got an old car, you could take a picture of it. Hey, this is what my car looked like in 1984. Because I had a new digital camera back then.
Right.
All right, Dor, what you got?
What I want to bring next, honestly, I was really hoping Mark was here, because I could picture Mark getting very addicted to this. It is a Endless Runner style game. I wouldn't call it an Endless Runner, because there's no running, I guess is the way I would put it. It's called Nail It. It's by the Moscoters.
The Masketeers.
Masketeers. That's how incompetent I am and illiterate I am. Okay, so marked E for everyone. Does contain ads and does have in-app purchases, but completely free to download. 5,800 reviews, 3.9 average reviews, 3,400 5 stars. That's decent. That's good scores. Updated April 10th, 2017, version 1.7.0. Installs between 1 and 5 million. So, yeah, that's an okay amount of downloads. You are a hammer. You are in control of a hammer. The hammer is a good percentage of the screen. It is like a little hammer. And what happens is you're scrolling by boards or things, and you have to time your hit to hit. Like in one of the stages, it's pretty obvious you're hitting nails, and then you can hit stars, and then you can hit hearts, and then bottles. But you know, nails are the obvious one. Your goal is to not hit the bare area underneath, which it seems like a lot of time is wood based. Something I was just guessing when I saw this game, something telling me this is the kind of game that might have got Mark to at least say, I might download this and try this. But I don't know.
It's a hard game. I tried it. I uninstalled it like after 3 tries, because it was. Did you play it
for literally 30 seconds? And that's rage why quit too? I thought Mark. Well, no, not rage quit. It was a patient quit. It was a, I don't have time for this. Annoyance. This isn't fun. But something told me Mark would take that as a challenge.
Yeah, you're right. It's I rage quit. I'm like, this is way too difficult. Because not only do you have blank spaces, then you'll have like other things that you're not supposed to hit, which aren't obvious at first. But it was a tough one. It's
if they're
kind of like Ant Smasher, but it keeps moving much faster.
Gotcha. Yeah. There was no kind of obvious visual indicator that I could figure out what was good and what was bad to hit, right. Except for to me, a nail made sense right. to hit.
Yep. Yeah. I had. You know what I mean? Yeah. Same here. I tried. Yeah. Maybe about the same amount of time. Three or four games, maybe.
Right. And I mean, what I will say is, honestly, it's a good built game. It's a smooth game. Mm-hmm. It didn't hiccup. It ran perfectly fine. It wasn't a big download. Wasn't a hard download. But it's just 30 seconds of playing it. It was almost like the first time I even saw Flappy Bird. Mm-hmm. And like seconds into it, nope, skip. You know, it's kind of like when you first saw the first 5 minutes of Star Trek Enterprise or Voyager and said to yourself, this is not the Star Trek I was expecting. And then, you know, change channel.
Yeah.
At least some of us did that, you know.
We did a lot of reviews, and they actually respond back to reviews. So that's nice, too. Good job, Mom.
Oh, they should.
Masketeers. Yeah, you don't see that all the time, though.
I agree.
All right, I'm going to bring a game then. And this one is called Balls, B-A-L-L-Z.
Whoa.
What?
This is not a repeat.
No, I looked.
You sure?
After you finally got me that going back up. Control F.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, 99% sure, if this is not a repeat, this is a clone.
Well, it's a clone of BB Tan.
Yeah.
No, this is a
ripoff
of BB Tan.
Well, no, it might be better.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
I've played a lot.
Then why the hell are you bringing it?
Because, I mean, to just to mention BB Tan again, really. Because I can't stop that game. I don't know. Something's going to have to happen. But this did scratch my BB Tan because I got to the point where I was wasting too much time with BB Tan. So I uninstalled it, you know, and then one of our friends in the Google Plus mentioned this game and you Richard called it out right away. Like, oh, this looks like one Eric brought. Well, it's very, very, very similar. It's not exactly the same. Ketchup, I'm going to say that they copied off of BB Tan. I don't know that for sure because both of them have tons of installs, but I think this was the second version. I think BB Tan's the original. But it's basically the same thing. There's these squares on a field with numbers on them, and you have to use physics to direct balls to hit them. And every time a ball hits a square, the number goes down, gets down to zero, goes away. Right. And it's kind of like reverse Tetris, where everything's coming from the top. You need to keep destroying these squares before you get to the bottom and the game's over. So I did do, I got up in the hundreds on this one too.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little different. I mean, the balls are smaller on this one, and there's no pinball buttons, I guess.
Bumper?
Yeah, bumpers. Yeah, there's no bumpers in this one. But there is a thing, like in BB Tan, if one of your balls, due to physics, keeps going back and forth forever, you know, in one spot, kind of gets stuck, you know, keeps moving, one of those pinball bumpers will get up there in the way and redirect it. This game does not have those, so up in the upper right-hand corner, there's basically, it's called a fast-forward button. It looks like a little lightning bolt. You tap that, and it speeds it up like 10 times, and it goes really fast, and then it actually will end up, you know, finishing. You don't have to wait for it to finish.
Gotcha.
Less graphics in this than there is in BB Tan. BB Tan's got some animated looking kind of drawing people at the top and the bottom. This one doesn't have that. One thing that's really frustrating with this, I can't listen to podcasts at all while I play it.
No. That's a big party foul.
That was a huge, huge letdown.
Right, okay. I will say the one thing I'm seeing that's inconsistent in the screenshots, and so I'm going to guess it's a setting you can turn on and off. The one thing in BB Tan that did not happen was you would point in a direction and the line would just go straight. It would just do that. In some of the screenshots here, it looks like I'm actually seeing what would happen on a ricochet in maybe preview mode. I don't know if it's preview mode or it's just a still shot with a bunch of balls where I'm seeing the reflections.
Yeah.
But if it can give you at all a preview of the reflections, that's one thing BB Tan couldn't.
No, the same. This is the same. You'll get a preview of the straight line that it'll initially take before it hits something.
Because that was the thing that really made me upset was You looked like you were hitting it perfect, but as soon as you let go, it would move a pixel down or up, or, you know, a couple pixels down or up, and then hit a corner. And when you hit a corner in Release BB10, you could get some really, you couldn't predict what was going to happen.
Right. And on this one, it's even worse because the balls are smaller than they are in BB10. They're less forgiving than BB10s were.
Listen, listen, that's the second time you've said it. It's genetics. You can't blame it for having small.
Yeah, less forgiving small balls. There's no, I can't blame it.
I can't blame it. But okay, game features. Free to play, endless gameplay, simple ball control, challenge your friends to beat high
lots
scores.
Of ads.
Free, well, then that's a thing. BB10 had their fair share of ads too, didn't it?
No, BB10, well, it, no. You could watch an ad to keep going if you messed up.
That's right.
This one, you can also do that, but every time you start it, it'll give you an ad right off the bat. Or it won't give you an ad. It'll pop up some other catch-up app, one of their other apps. And if you tap anywhere on the screen, they wait just a second, you know, you're about to tap start, throw it in the way, right. And then you go to the Google Play Store for a catch-up app, which is annoying as crap. Oh, I can't remember what I was going to say. I don't know,
but in the change log, which I will tell you this, the older I get, the more I appreciate a well-documented change log in every facet of life. I need one. So like when I go to the gas station and there's changes, I want to see the change log. Like, you know, this pump was broken. Now it's fixed. We, you know, corrected this. We fixed the screen over here just so I can see what's going on. And there, what's new? New speed up the game option. So that's a very new feature to go up to 10x. New balls to unlock. So apparently there's some custom spherical orbs you can have in the game too, which, I mean, every bit of customization, personalization options they give you, I think, is one of those little things that people really crave. So that's smart. And they are a top developer. If it is a clone, it isn't like it's somebody, you know, unknown doing it. It's a top
developer.
These guys have
tons and tons of games. Yeah. And I know we probably brought over a dozen of their games to this show before. Unfortunately, I'm stuck on BB10. And I honestly don't care for any of the other Tan games by whoever that makes that. It's like they got EE Tan, AA Tan, BB Tan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're very stylized games is the way I put it. And this camera is really
good. Nah, don't worry about your camera. No. People don't like the live watch the video anyway. My camera, my blue doesn't even look blue. It's gray. So you're doing better than I am.
And your camera's giving me a stroke too. this next app, the honest truth is I literally don't watch any television. That's why, like Eric told me before the show about the bridge in Georgia. I had no idea. He told me about some massive bomb in Afghanistan. What? I didn't know that. I don't watch any TV, and I watch even less movies or series for a couple reasons. I'm getting mentally, habitually, it seems like, addicted on real stuff, not fake stuff. You know, not sci-fi, not fantasy, not drama, not comedy, but real people talking kind of thing. But this is the kind of thing I don't know if it's really needed. When I used to use Netflix kind of thing, the search interface was not great, not grand. The ability to browse was a little bit hokey, a little bit weird on every interface, whether it was Android, desktop, or anything else. I really wasn't a fan of how it was laid out. So for giggles, I did download this and check it out, called Upflix-Netflix Updates by Upflix Inc. Mature 17 plus, because Netflix has mature 17 plus content. 35,000 reviews, completely free to download, does have ads and does have in-app purchases. 4.2 average reviews, 19,000 five-star reviews. Updated April 1st, 2017, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Current version 5.5.6.1. So it's been around a while is what it seems like. Basically what this is a search engine for Netflix. And I do believe it does a better job of highlighting, this is new stuff that's available in Netflix. That was one of the things I never really had whenever I was able to find the new and upcoming, I think it was called, on Netflix, it never seemed to get everything. Because when I would go someplace else, I would see sometimes three times as more content as being new. But Netflix thought, well, you don't want to see that, you know, because you watch so much Phineas and Ferbs and cartoons, which is my kids pwning my account, even though I gave them their own profile, but long story short. So it never gave me what I wanted. It always gave me what everyone wanted, which was not everything. So this, I think, honestly, could be one of those to help you find better things. And it does have a good filter in place where you can say, don't show me anything with a rating on Rotten Tomatoes less than blah, 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 blah. Or Netflix or IMDb. You can pick any of those services. I thought that was good. And you can search by actors, which, of course, my first search was Mel Brooks. You know, because if you don't like Young Frankenstein, you're not my friend.
My daughter's in the high school musical of Young Frankenstein at their high school this year, coming up in a couple weeks.
I'm sorry, but that sounds pretty
awesome. What's her name? She's a girl in it who, whenever she enters the room, a horse will go. Yeah, she's that girl.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing. I'm so undereducated, misinformed. I really don't even get that joke. I'm pretty sure the lady's name is something in German or whatever that means something with horses.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea either.
I don't know. But if you want better ways to search and filter Netflix, I encourage you to check out Upflix. And it's called Upflix-Netflix Updates.
I think this is good because people, you know, when you get like a cable subscription and you just flip through channel, through channel, through channel, and there's nothing on channel, I think you get some of that overload when you go to Netflix. And like, you don't really know. I mean, there's so much content that it makes it hard to choose. You know, if there was only five movies, it would make it easy. You're going to watch one of those five. But I do like this has a, you know, after you do your filters of what you like and what you're not going to like, there's a roulette mode where you just hit the button and it'll choose the movie for you. And there you go.
I'm almost afraid of the roulette mode.
You set up your filters first, though. Right. unless you're honest with your filters, then maybe you would be scared.
All right.
Yeah. I think this is a good app. I look through Netflix a lot, and you're right. Their Netflix's interface is hokey and old. I've got a Roku that's on a TV that's like a 27-inch TV or 24-inch, and if you view it from the side, it's hard. I can't read anything, you know, because I just can't see it right. You know, I'm too far away, so it gets hard to see sometimes. And if I could just let it pick for me, then it's probably fine.
Gotcha.
Let's see. We may have some emails, I think. Maybe we should look at those. We don't.
Okay. Don't know. Well, the only one I had that I can tell you right now really quick is from Lee. really, really quick tangent. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again at the end of the show. DDG, Door Door Geek, new show on the network, just me flapping my jaws, probably going to be shorter episodes. And one of the things that Lee's highlighting in his email is one of the reasons I'm doing the show. Okay. Now his email says, Steve, I've been a devoted listener to your podcast for several years now, and I think you're doing a great job, but, you and your colleagues, especially you, use the word literally in quotes, literally dozens of times in your podcast. I am a career journalist and trust me when I say that word should seldom be used in one of your recent podcasts. You used it more than a dozen times within the first 5 minutes. Your reliance on it makes your intelligence more often than not. You use it incorrectly. You should scrub it from your vocabulary. That's the first paragraph. I'll say this, go on and on and on. And it is an actual positive email. This is a perfect example of constructive criticisms. Okay. He first off says, I've been a devoted listener for several years now, and I think you do a great job. See, this is a smart fella here. Because he starts off with a honest to goodness compliment that it sounds utterly genuine. And I believe it's utterly genuine. But then he goes on to say the actual truth. And basically, I'll just say a couple more things he says, and I'll say, My first line to him in return is, hello, Lee. Oh, I got to expand it. Thank you. This is the exact type of email I need. You are so, with like six O's behind it, which I'm sure drove a journalist crazy in hindsight. I'm sorry. You are so damn right. I'm literally tempted to take this display I have off to the side where I'm typically looking at the YouTube thing to make sure everything is still running, but that has not been an issue for over a year. It seems to always run. So I'm tempted to change that screen and just have a list in huge, like 20-point font or 40-point font, words I should never say in a podcast. Because I become reliant, and it's like a crutch, on using them to try to get a point across, to try to get a thing. And what it really is I'm saying them as a default knee-jerk reaction while I'm thinking about something else. Okay. So I need to stop saying all those words. I get annoyed when I listen to the show, because I dog food everything we do on Podnuts, and I get annoyed when I say the word utterly 15 times in a show. And when I'm in the show, I know I say it a couple times, but I don't realize I say it 15 times. So thank you, Lee. I appreciate your candidness. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate your kind words, because that wasn't the only kind words he said. But he is exactly right. And part of the goal of this whole network is for everyone to get better. We are not professionals. We are not journalists. We are not into media. We didn't go to any kind of college courses or anything else to become media professionals. We haven't gone to any kind of schools for this.
Right.
But that's not an excuse. We all need to get better with each and every damn episode, to be honest. That's the honest kind of truth. So trust me, Lee, I hear you explicitly, and I'm doing everything in my power to restrain from using those kitschy words, especially using them wrong and out of context. Like, and literally is one of the words I try to literally only use when it's absolutely abundantly accurate. Like, the example is Weird Al word crimes. When the guy says, I can't literally get out of bed. And then he shows a picture of a guy chained to a bed. And when he says that, when you say that, I want to literally take a bat to your head or something like that. I try to be good about that, but I do need people to poke me, because if I hear it, that doesn't mean everyone else hears it. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe I'm overthinking. So for Lee to say it to me reinforces that, yes, other people hear it as well.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie. I know. That's the other one.
He has couth. That's why it came off the way it did. I mean, and because he's a professional journalist, he knows how to use his words to stimulate your thought and let you know a fault and not piss you off all at the same time.
Well, I'll say this. Three things to me stood out in his email from the things he said. One, he's older. Older people, I think, understand basic rules of communication and tactfulness and what to lead with kind of thing. Two, he's a professional journalist, which means he understands communication technically better than any of us should. But three, he's a Southerner. And every true, authentic, stereotypical Southerner I've ever met understands first and foremost about being a gentleman, aka holding the door for people, not insulting people directly to their face, because that's not nice kind of thing. Which is why I'm happy I live south of the Mason-Dixon line. I'm just saying, you know. So I'm going to repurpose this screen over here and have those words on there.
Yeah, that might work.
So I encourage, and you have this permission, Eric, you and every other host on this network, whenever I'm on a show, if you hear me saying kitschy things, like I'm not going to lie, just call me out, and that's okay. I'm a man, I can take it. And just by saying I'm a man is one of those things.
I'm going to say, don't get rid of your YouTube screen until after the 18th, and one show after that.
Yeah, true.
Don't jump to that one.
Oh, another quick note, programming note. And these are the kind of things that I'm going to bring to the show DDG. It's going to be a state of Podnuts, status of Podnuts, things going on in the network, as well as what's going on in my head. I'm now a firm believer I should not have Android App Addicts, Mini PC Show, Linux for the Rest of Us, and DDG all being published on in video under one YouTube account. I think that's incredibly tacky, and I think it's extremely insulting to all of the people who watch the videos. And I really do despise everybody on YouTube that does that. And they do it on purpose, thinking I'll do five different types of content and then I'll get five times the number of subscribers in my channel. And it's really scummy and skeezy to do that. My logic is, if people subscribe because they like watching Android App Addicts, I should publish nothing but Android App Addicts on that channel. So I will be making more accounts for content types. In fact, this channel with Android App Addicts is probably going to change, because right now it's under Door-to-Door Geek. So I'm probably going to make a new account, basically called Podnuts Android App Addicts or something, where that content will explicitly be seen.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, as long as you're not looking for subscriber numbers like that, then yeah.
No, because I go into YouTube and say monetization off, nada, zero, zilch. I'm not the guy who gives my content away for free to a billion-dollar conglomerate organization to make money off of me and give me a couple pennies here and there. No, Google makes enough money. They don't need me. In fact, if it was up to me, any video distributed by Podnuts would be on podnuts.com itself. Wouldn't be on YouTube. The only reason I use YouTube is because it's so damn easy to broadcast live.
And cheap and reliable. You're the guy who is the reason it doesn't bother me anymore, because thank you for the subscription to YouTube Red. I don't even notice that until I'm on some other account that I have in another place. And yes, I don't see me ever not using YouTube Red. If Door were to fire me tomorrow and I lost every job or piece of income I had, if I had some sort of connection to an internet and I had to watch a YouTube videos, I would buy YouTube Red no matter what I had to do to get it. Cause I'm spoiled, man. I mean, I don't mean to be a snob about it, but once you live without those ads, there ain't no going back.
Yeah, my example is we used to say back in the day, it's like going from dial-up to cable or from dial-up to DSL. No, it's like going from serial connections pre-dial-up into gigabit.
Yeah,
it's that big of a jump, and there's no way you can mentally go back. I'll say this, if history is any example, ads on YouTube will only get worse over time. I can't see it going down, because it's the number two search engine in the world, and the amount of content being uploaded now, I want to say, is well over 400 hours every second to YouTube.
Wow.
So the cost to upkeep is kind of crazy. If I lose my YouTube Red, I will never go to YouTube again and watch a single video.
I know. In the same way.
Yeah, because I can't, there's no way I could stomach that.
Last Tuesday, I was out of town, and our council voted to start selling bonds to bring gigabit to every home in Rock Falls. Who wants it? We're doing fiberhoods, like Google, doing fiberhoods where you buy in. And so I'll have gigabit coming at some point. I just got to talk to all my neighbors to be the first fiberhood in the door.
Okay, well, is it symmetric?
Yes, up and down, 1 gig. With the ability to do up and down 10 gigs. But 1 gig up and down is $70.
Okay.
Go move to Rock Falls. Bring your data centers and your businesses. That's what we're doing it for.
Well, the good thing is you're farther north, which means cooling costs would be less. The only question is then energy costs. The property cost, the land cost is almost isn't the important factor. It's typically heating cost. And energy costs are the two driving factors.
We own our own electric agency, which offers cheaper than going rate electric most of the time. We've got a hydroelectric plant, and we can cool your data center with our river water.
Mm. Wow.
That's my pitch.
That's good. We did have at least two more emails.
I've got one I'm going to bring from Todd, but I haven't played this game or looked at it yet, but I'm going to bring it just because we don't usually get emails in that quick. This is from Todd Evans, and we'll check it out and bring it back. But he says, "Hey guys, just a quick note to share this app I came across. I've always been fascinated by various Rube Goldberg machines that I've seen. Here's an app that lets you make your own. I've only just installed it, so I haven't had much time to dive in." Well, he hasn't checked it out much either. So we'll all be together in this one. "From what I've done so far, it's probable that this could be a very frustrating game for some and fascinating for others. Engineering types will probably really enjoy it, while platformers may be overwhelmed. See what you think. Always glad to share some unique things with the community. Keep up the great work, and don't forget, fellow app addicts, throw some coin their way at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. That's a good idea too, Todd, and thank you for the app suggestion. It's like an animated Rube Goldberg machine or mousetrap. You're dropping basketballs and bowling balls onto things and breaking jars. And it looks like you would take some time to set up and then hit probably the play button or the go button or flick it a little bit and get everything in motion and see if it was successful or not.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't know Rube's Lab, it is referencing Rube Goldberg machines. I don't know. I literally have no idea who Rube Goldberg was.
I don't either.
But I can tell you the essence of it. It is near pointless machines. Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, you want to turn off the light. You can walk up and flick the switch. Or you can push a button that releases food that makes the mouse go on a wheel, which causes a piece of wood to fall, which causes a balloon to rise, which then causes it to hit a pin, which then scares the bird, which then jumps up and pulls a string, which then pulls a block that releases a ball that goes and just keep going on and on. That's a Rube Goldberg machine. I don't want to say pointless, but it's unnecessary actions and reactions to do an end goal that shouldn't require that much actions and reactions.
Yeah. Like the game Mousetrap or even like people setting up dominoes in a huge set of different weird things that happen.
Right. But I never played Mousetrap.
I neither. My wife did. Okay. She used to like it, but she's an engineer. So
go figure.
I guess maybe I should have played it. If my parents would have only gave me the Mousetrap game, this could all be different.
Right. Yeah. You need to go tell your physician that your parents, hurt you in that way.
They didn't trigger my engineering side.
Right. Well, that's their fault. I have another email if you want me to read it, Eric. Okay. It's from Soham, which I believe I'm saying wrong, and Mark called him Soham.
Oh, did he? I say Soham too.
I believe Eric is more world educated than and regular educated than myself. Soham says, hi guys, been a while since I wrote, but my 5X unfortunately boot looped. So I was left without a phone. Long story short, LG refused to repair mine. Awful customer service. 2.5 months later, I got a replacement through my insurance company. Another 5X. Let's hope this one doesn't boot loop. Anyway, I've been out of the loop with the show and most of the new apps. So forgive me if my questions have already been answered. I was looking for a screenshot app with more functionality, e.g. taking round or square screenshots directly, or even better, scrolling screenshots. Is there an app that can do that? Also, right now I'm using ES File Explorer. Oh my. ES Downloader. Oh my. feature as it lets me download videos from pretty much any source for offline viewing. I understand that the app is potentially privacy risk, so I was looking for another alternative. Keep up the great work, Soham.
This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Is that how the song goes when it comes to ES File Explorer now? You can't, this is crap. So bad. Yeah. I used to love ES File Explorer.
It was great, but then almost like what has happened before about Chrome web apps and Firefox add-ons. They're successful. They get successful. The company doesn't have a monetary strategy, so they turn around and sell it to what turns out to be again, sleazy and skeezy company that does really bad things. Uninstall everything ES right now. Doesn't matter what it is. Get it off every device. Period. It is horrible software doing, besides privacy stuff, it literally does some redirects. It does some unwanted wear type behavior. It can replace your lock screen. It can actually do some DNS scraping too and report back on sites you're going to outside of the application. Get rid of it. It is horrible. Number two, screenshotting applications almost all suck, and they're heavily dependent upon the unique OS. What I mean by that is, if you're on a, let's say, certain Samsung device, they have the ability to do scrolling screenshots. That app will probably do scrolling screenshots better on that phone than anything else because it's native to the phone and it has higher level of access. Anything you have to install will never have higher access than what you are. Apps installed from the factory have the ability to be more of a root level or admin level access, which means they can do a lot more and run a lot better. So all aftermarket screenshot apps I've found, you'll have random results across the board. Might work great on this LG, might work horrible on this HTC, might work great on this Samsung, you never know. So it's literally trial and error. So if you want scrolling screenshots, first really investigate the OS. Make sure it isn't there. If it isn't, I just say Google Play search, screenshot scroll, install the top five, test them out, see if one works better than the other. And that's really the only thing to say, which is unfortunate. Two, I believe there's a lawsuit right now for the LG 5X because of the boot loop. And if they didn't replace it, you might win yourself a check worth like $1.50 because that's what you're going to get.
Class action lawsuits work like that.
Right. Downloading videos from any pretty much source is piracy. There's no way to get around it. The EULA terms of service of when you use services like YouTube is you can't download video. So anything you use or can use to download video from YouTube in an unofficial fashion is by its very nature probably going to be a program you don't want on a device where you insist on privacy and security. Mm-hmm. The two will not match. So what I encourage you to do, be honest, if you want to download, for instance, YouTube videos, I encourage you to send me a separate email directly and I'll read it on Linux for the rest of us. And I'll explain to you how you can take any old computer, install any version of Linux on it and use an application called YouTube-DL-GUI. And in that app, you can paste a URL of an entire channel, of a playlist, of an individual video or anything, hit enter and it will download it. So for instance, if you go to my URL, which I believe is youtube.com/doordoorgeek, and put that in and hit enter, you will literally download every video I've ever created on YouTube. Okay. And because it's a Linux open source thing, everyone has the ability to look at that source code and it is doing nothing malicious. Okay. On Android, they really want to get into your phone because they really want to push these ads so they can make money. So anytime you're downloading videos, expect bad things is what I'll say on your phone. And that's just the truth of it. I encourage you to do it off your phone, do it on a computer, and then if you want, push the content to your phone.
And I reached out to Soham because I had the exact same experience. My 5X was boot looping after an update, and luckily I talked to him back and forth a little bit about it, about my experience with Project Fi. They next day'd me a phone. They knew what the problem was. They had me try a couple things. Didn't go crazy with making it my fault or anything. They gave up, and 2 days later, I had a new phone and threw my old one in the box and sent it to them. I'm still happy about Project Fi. So far this new 5X, refurbished 5X, whatever it is they sent me, has been fine. I have had no issues. I don't know if they reflowed it or what it is, because I just saw yesterday a YouTube video where a guy needed some pictures off of his 5X, and he had that problem. Well, he took a blow dryer to it and got it to boot up for 10 minutes at a time, but it would overheat and start doing it again. But then somebody told him, hey, go get a heat gun. They go much hotter, to the point where hair would burn off if he used it. So he did that, and it's like 2 weeks later, it's still going when he reflowed it with a heat gun.
Right, and I'll say long-time Podnuts listeners, what Eric just said should ring a bell, because we knew about the technique called reballing and reflowing for years. It's when in the process of putting these boards together, putting these chips on, there was basically a quality assurance flaw in the manufacturing, where either the solder didn't stick all the way down, or certain parts of the solder joints didn't stick, or they used really cheap solder that through the right conditions, whether it be humidity or temperature, could actually become loose, and then bam, bad stuff happened. And like back in the day, we used to take the HP laptop, I can't remember what it was, and some people said literally take the motherboard out of the laptop, wrap the entire thing in tin foil, aluminum foil, except for these spots, and put it in the oven 325 for, you know, an hour or whatever, and it would reflow, it would melt the solder enough to make it reflow and join back down, and put it back in the laptop, and you could get a working laptop for anything from 3 minutes to 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's what it sounds like. This is a genuine hardware error with these devices. If you can hold a hair dryer up to it, warm it up, and then have it work for 15 minutes, that is absolutely a soldering, reflowing kind of issue. And that is horrible.
Yeah.
For the companies we have, companies like HTC, Samsung, LG, these quote-unquote big-name companies should not be experiencing these kind of issues, except for the fact that they're too busy trying to worry about maximizing their profits. And that is really bad.
They're trying to squeeze so much into these thin little phones too, I think, some of it. I mean, originally when we had the reflowing issues was when they changed the type of solder to take even more lead out of it to be environmentally conscious. Right. And the lead that the solder that they were using just did not hold up to any kind of bending or heat, like movement from heat, you know, expansion and contraction at all. It would just crack instead of, you know, go with it.
Right. Okay. I did forward you another email.
Yeah, from Kevin. Kevin McLaughlin. Thank you, Kevin. This guy, longtime show supporter and listener and contributor. And he listens to other shows that we listen to too. He's very prolific in the podcasting area. And he says, hello, everyone, and welcome. Hopefully you and their family is doing well. The Mozilla Stumbler app was on a previous show, episode 295. Here is an update showing Android App Addicts, #AAA, in permanent second place on the original leaderboard that has been archived. See the link below. The show is now part of Mozilla history. We are currently in first place with the current leaderboard. The screenshot is from today. Thank you for podcasting and sharing your life with your fans. Looking forward to meeting y'all in person someday, Dor, Eric, and Mark. Take care and enjoy life. Thank you, Kevin. This app, was it this app where it kind of tracked how many miles you went? Was that what it was?
I believe what happened is, remember years ago, because 295,
yeah.
Okay, less like Wayne's World, time travel back to 295. Yeah. Back then was right after Google got in a lot of trouble because they were sending out vehicles that were basically sniffing the airways and getting cell tower IDs and wireless access points, aka wireless routers, and sucking in information about them. And people said that some of the information they were sucking in was not cool.
Back when we thought that was an invasion of privacy, and now we just let it happen every day. It's not a thing now. We're okay with everything.
Right. And Mozilla didn't like the fact that Google at that point in time, I believe, had the largest database of this kind of mapping information. So Mozilla said, we're going to do our own and we're going to allow anybody to utilize it. Okay. So what it was you would turn your phone on, and as you were driving down the road, because the logic was when you were driving, you would hit more of these things more accurately. So the whole time you're driving, it records what cell towers you're connected to. Well, first off, it did a couple things. It GPS coordinated where it was at. It used the mobile data connections to see what towers it was connected to. And it would use Wi-Fi to see what access points are here and what are their MAC addresses, because that's the only way you could really uniquely identify them back again. And then it basically categorized it. So you would drive, and as you were driving, it would kill you. It would kill your battery if you didn't have it plugged in. Obviously, Kevin had it plugged in, and it would pull down all this information and pipe it back up to Mozilla, who then cleanse the data and offer it to other developers for informational purposes. If you want to know about, you know, what wireless access points are near you, where's the towers located near you, Mozilla helped disseminate that information to everybody. And okay, I mentioned how Southerners seem to be a different class of folk. You know, you take it as listeners, good, bad, or indifferent. They're a different class of folk. The other type of person I find to be highly enjoyable to communicate with and be around is truck drivers, especially long-haul truck drivers. And I'm guessing being solo on the road for a length of time allows them for a certain amount of introspection that makes them easier for me to communicate with. And every long-haul trucker I've basically sat down and talked to have been unbelievably good guys. And what Kevin did was he literally made it now in the WaybackMachineArchive.org and on the Mozilla site, there's always going to be a reference now to Android App Addicts. And that's the kind of thing nobody else on the planet could do, except for Kevin from Carolina. So he's a Southern.
So he set up this app to, and he named, rather than naming it Kevin's phone or anything, he named it Android App Addicts #AAA when he first did it. And then he started he just kept it going. That's so cool, Kevin. that might be the only thing left of this show at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And now another quick tangent diversion, because I don't care. That's the kind of support that nobody can put a price tag on. Okay. Because it shows a certain amount of passion that I can't put a price tag on. If I were to pay this guy for this kind of effort, I don't know. It's a lot, because that is months and years of constantly pushing the button on his phone, making sure it's up and running. Now, I got to believe he probably had it running on a secondary phone and just left it sitting there running the whole time. Because I like to believe he didn't do work and effort to have this thing running the whole time, but something tells me he did. Podnuts has went through changes its whole existence. Okay. Started with Steve C, basically just doing Podnuts daily, day in the life of a computer repair shop owner. And that was the bulk of the content on the network. Steve C sold his computer shop. The network changed a little bit. Steve sold me the network. It changed a little bit. And then ever since I got it, things have been changing too. Well, there's another big change that happened. And if you go to podnuts.com/Amazon, you'll be redirected to my DDG episode 1 explaining why Podnuts now will not have an Amazon affiliate link again for the rest of time. And I encourage people that we need to make up for that as a community, for Podnuts to still be able to do things like do giveaways, remain primarily ad-free for everyone, not be beholden to marketers or advertisers. And also what I would like to do is literally start my own marketing campaign, aka paying back podcasters and saying to, for instance, Larry Bushy from Going Linux, hey Larry, here's $50 an episode. I want you to do an ad spot at the end of your show about podcast network Podnuts, or, you know, another podcast network. I want to do reverse marketing, essentially. I want to now put marketing out for Podnuts itself, and that's not free. So if you want to support the network, go to podnuts.com/Amazon, listen to the show. I go through the whole diatribe of what happened, why happened, how happened, and now how you can support us. I'm going to say, if you do want to support anybody on Amazon, and you should, because Amazon did nothing wrong in this. For this episode, I'll say go to Throwback Reviews and support previous host Sean Johnson and good friend of the network, Rob Flack O'Hare. I love that Flack part. And support them by going to their Amazon affiliate link and support them. And if there is another podcaster, or there is another network, or there is another service that you, the listener, is a fan of, make sure you support them going to Amazon. Never go to Amazon without going to a affiliate link first.
Don't leave that supporting money for your friends and podcasters on the table. And don't use the Amazon app, because it may be a little more convenient, but you can... But you're not helping anybody, where it would cost you nothing just to use the Google or the Chrome website. Go to your browser and go to the Amazon website with the link to your favorite podcast.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos is already a billionaire. He doesn't need any more money. Let's give it to smaller people that really can value that money.
Read.
Did you have any more emails? We do have a new Patreon subscriber, Caleb Faults, again.
Caleb? Oh, welcome, Caleb. Welcome back, Caleb.
Again, yeah, old-time supporter of the network. If you time travel back to when Caleb was, I believe, like 16 years old, Larry Aldrich, or Doc Brown, we called him in Podnuts, was his teacher in, I believe, high school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I believe it was high school. It was some kind of teacher. And one of the things that Doc Brown pushed was learning computers, learning computer services, learning how to fix computers, understanding the basics of computer. And Caleb connected with that. And Doc Brown, being Doc Brown, actually told the students that showed interest, you know, you should check out Podnuts. Huh. So I've gotten gray and then gotten kids and gotten older. At the same time, Caleb has became a man and has a job, has a house, has a good-looking pet dog, posts on Twitter semi-frequently. And he honestly lives close enough to where I really should have by now sat down and had a beer with him, and I feel like a jerk for not. So he's our new Patreon supporter, so I cannot thank you enough, Caleb. Awesome thanks all around.
Did he not make the Podnuts app, Android App Addicts app, a long time ago?
He has made a Android App Addicts app. I believe one or two, possibly two of them. And he's done other apps at the same time. He did show an interest in wanting to make another application. I got him in touch with another guy who's helping me redo, instead of having the Google spreadsheet recording all the apps, instead of having a genuine PHP web interface where I can enter the apps in there and people can search and browse app choices from there and automatically generate some of the notes for the show from that list instead of having to copy paste and retype stuff over again. Yeah. So, you know, huge, huge thanks to Caleb, and no matter what, it's just good to hear from him.
I do have an email from Christian. I don't remember if this was brought on the show or not. It's about 3C Toolbox.
Yeah, honestly, it sounds familiar, but let me just make sure.
It's from March 20th.
I go into here, and it is called Genuine 3C Toolbox, but if I come over here to my Google Doc, yeah, 3C Toolbox, episode 463, the last episode. Right. So he did.
When Mark comes back next week, he'll find all the missing emails that we couldn't find.
Well, he's better than us at this.
So do you want to empty your tank door?
I really don't have much of a tank. We've already been going on for an hour and a half. So I will throw one more app out there.
Yeah.
The app I'm going to throw out there is, I'm going to throw this one out just because the icon of the app is a man's face with an open mouth, which we all know is the only way to do a proper game on Android. And what I mean by that is every successful game, it seems like, for the last year and a half on Android, if you take a look at the avatar, it's a man's face with an open mouth.
Hmm.
And I don't understand. Clash of Clans and all, you know, all these kind of games all have a guy with an open mouth. And it's almost creepy.
I never understood the advertisements you see on TV where they've got men who are just really dumb. You know what I mean? They're like I call them stupid guy commercials, where I would say half of all the commercials you see on TV, if you watch TV, which you don't, it'd just be a really stupid guy. Way stupider than anybody you would ever meet.
I think it's either funny or I don't know. Here's the game. I put the link in the notes. Yeah, I put the link in the IRC already. Okay, it's called Planet of Heroes Action MOBA. MOBA stands for something. Massively Online, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Something. It's by my.com/BV. E for everyone 10 and up. Does have in-app purchases. Completely free to download. Top developer. 1,300 reviews. Average 4.1 with over 800 five-star reviews. Updated April 17th, 2017. Current version 1.0.3. Between 100,000 500,000 installs. There is a video for it in the Play Store.
Multiplayer online battle arena.
Okay, yeah, that was. I knew it was multiplayer, but I thought it didn't hear that. Okay, this is very artsy, is what I'm going to say, a much more modern, less 8-bit looking, almost like a top-down Diablo-esque view of the game, with more of almost a fighter battle arena type gameplay. Almost like Overwatch is the only game I could immediately think come to mind, partially because there's women with not a lot of clothes on. It sounded fun. It seemed fun. Anytime I hear multiplayer and wireless and possible mobile networks, I keep thinking to myself, I can't expect this to be fantastically quick and snappy and up to date. And I was pleasantly shocked. It seemed like it was, but my guess is they just properly programmed expecting a certain amount of lag, is what I'm going to guess.
So you were playing others on online?
Yeah, but if I recall, because it's been like 3 since we did the show, there really was no picking. It was just click, I want to play multiplayer, and go, and like random people join me kind of thing. For all I know, they were actually not people and they were all bots, and they lied, and there's no multiplayer, but I like to believe they were all real people. It was almost brainless fun. I'm sure if I knew and understand more of the mechanics and the upgrades and stuff like that, I would enjoy it more, but you know, it was fine. I thought it was cool.
This game gets very, very high reviews from people.
Well, and yeah, this is the thing I don't really get about this game. It looks really good. It's offering multiplayer online gameplay. It doesn't look bad. The graphics look good. But it only has between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. I thought it would have been between like 5 and 10 million. Hmm. But it's not.
It says game. I'm guessing gameplay is free forever or something like that in there.
Yeah, so maybe it's just newer and I didn't realize that I called it that could early. Be. I don't know.
It's by my.com BV. B period, V period.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
But they are a top developer.
Yeah, and I think this is the kind of game that's going to be more popular, more prevalent, and more like this as time goes on. I do think the example I'm going to use is Nintendo Switch related, because now my brain is like, you know, constantly.
Have you been using it yourself much at all or not?
The Switch? Well, the kid's destroying it. He's now, he this quarter got 3 A's and 4 B's in school. Nice. I think it was, so he's on the honor roll. Last quarter, I think he had 2 E's. Every day he comes home, he's a latchkey kid, you know, comes in, opens the door, lets himself in. Every day he vacuums. Every day he does the dishes. And if their dishes are done, he empties them. He empties the dishwasher. He cleans up around the house, and then he sits down and plays Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on the Switch for 5 hours a day, it seems like. So he's like, yeah, really hooked on it. I play I don't get as much time. Splatoon is one of the third person shooter, but it's paintball kind of games. And people were saying that when you do multiplayer with that game, it was using 10 megs an hour. And some people are saying, man, that's going to make your bill go up. I'm thinking 10 megs an hour is nothing.
Yeah, watch a couple of YouTube videos or Netflix or something.
Right, and you're well beyond that. And then I had people, real people I know, say, I played it in a car, tethered to my phone, and everything seemed great. I didn't experience crazy lag or dropouts or anything. So that's how little data you can use when you're properly optimized for multiplayer online gameplay. So as we get more mature with this, you're going to, I think, keep needing less and less bandwidth when you have good development kind of things. And that's what I got to believe with this game, because I didn't experience lag. I didn't experience bad things happening. So I got to believe that these people are also doing a good job when it comes to optimizing network utilization for multiplayer gameplay.
Yeah, 10 megs an hour sounds great. I mean, really.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and the avatar is the guy with his mouth open, so obviously it's a good game.
Is that a sword that he swings? I mean, it looks like a big piece of yellow plastic.
But... yeah, take that as a Overwatch-like giant energy sword.
Oh, gotcha.
Almost in the same way that Final Fantasy does giant swords.
And the half-clothed lady is definitely like avatar-ish because she's totally, she's blue, you know, and she's got like writing on her face kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Another quick diversion. Did you see, now supposedly, the guy who wrote the song for the movie The Fifth Element, which again is coming back out to theaters here in like 2 months for a special viewing.
The I See Dead People?
Remastered Fifth Element. Fifth Element, Bruce Willis.
I See Dead,
Multipass. No. Multipass. She's the Fifth Element. Evil coming from across the universe, and I'm really upset at you right now, Eric, for this movie.
I'm not a movie guy, man, at all.
Well, Fifth Element is a good Bruce Willis movie, and I totally just lost complete train of thought because I'm so upset that you do not know this movie.
Oh, yet. I have to go watch it now. I was talking about Avatar Chick.
Okay, Avatar, okay. Blue. Okay. There's a blue lady in that movie that's singing a song, and supposedly the guy who wrote the movie did the song in such a way that he said it was technically, he thought, unsingable. And she goes from opera into like some kind of rock opera.
Oh, okay. Stuff. All right.
And there's a video of a Asian concert because over in, I believe it's China.
I watched
Japan,
this video.
You literally have things like Legend of Zelda concerts, touring concerts, where you sit down and you listen to an hour worth of that music. Well, there's somebody over there who figured out how to sing the song in a masterful way, and you listen to her sing that entire song from The Fifth Element, and my mind was blown how well
I was impressed, and I never heard the song prior to that.
Well, and it takes like 3 minutes for it to really kick in. But if you want to see that, just shoot me a link, and I'll shoot you a link to the video. It was, to me, one of those amazing things that I never thought I would see, and when I saw it, I literally like giggled. Because I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was about, what she was trying to do, but it got very impressive. You know, she was killing it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to bring one last one here since time. This is, have you ever played the game Cards Against Humanity?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Do you know what it is?
Yeah. You got to remember, Eric, I don't like people in real life, so there's no chance I would ever play this game.
So this is Cards Against Humanity is basically there's a phrase on a card, and then you and the other people who are playing have like say 7 cards in your deck, and they all have words and phrases on them, and you have to put the card down which you think best matches the original card, and then the person who had the original card gets to pick which one he thinks. Which one of your guys' answers was the best, and then you get the point. So basically, that's this card. But the thing is, but the stuff is really nasty. Usually, it's pretty vulgar and gross sometimes, and politically incorrect, and all these things that are bad. And basically, this is the same card game, but you play online with other people, friends, and strangers.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't like about this game. Well, two things. One, the game was developed purposefully in a open type platform via, I believe it was Kickstarter, back when Kickstarter was younger. And as soon as they did that, every other company completely went crazy, cloned their thing, and came out to market first, which literally hurt the original developer. And that's really bad. And this is another example of somebody taking advantage of that other card game, trying to make it their own, and trying to basically make money off of it because... sure, there's going to have ads in it.
You're right, but I think everybody buys... I mean, everybody knows the original is Cards Against Humanity.
Well,
but then,
no,
but
not everyone.
But then close. A lot of people buy the same little black-looking box that comes in. It'll be like Carps and Angsty Manatee or right. Crabs Against Humidity and things like that.
Well, yeah, and I say that, but in reality, this could be a better version of it. You know what I mean? And there probably is better versions of the original.
Well, the original,
but that was just one of the things that kind of, you know,
I think people just assume they need to buy the original game, and then all these other ones are just add-on packs to it because right. You run out of, you know, you've seen all the cards once, you want to expand on it.
Right. Well, and I'll say that this is currently in unreleased status. So they say it might be unstable, but because of the lack of intensive graphic things going on, I wouldn't expect this to be, you know, crashy.
It may be breaking some kind of copyright or something that they can't bring it out to real.
No. The makers of Cards Against Humanity did it in an open licensing format because they literally wanted to give back to the people. Their logic was the people who couldn't afford it could basically print it out on their own printer and cut it out and play it, kind of thing. Here's the other reason why I don't play the game. I'm not an extreme people person in real life in RL. But also, I'm the guy that I couldn't play this because I would be embarrassed and ashamed and blush at some of the things being said and done because it's not in my nature to joke about this kind of thing almost in the third person. I mean, I cuss like a sailor around some people because that's the way we talk, but not in a card game. I don't think it's
never play this game with relatives. It's always got to be friends. You don't, there's a lot of things you don't want to know about relatives that could come out from playing this game. Content rating is mature 17 plus for drug and alcohol reference, sexual themes, strong language, etc., etc. All right. Well, that I don't know. It's not for everybody. Well, but if you're a teenager,
nothing is.
It's probably for you, especially if you're mature and 17 or over.
Right. Yeah, I can definitely believe that too.
Anything else tonight, Dor? I would say, hey, thanks again to Caleb Folfs for supporting us on Patreon. And if anybody else is interested in helping out the show due to our lack of income from Amazon now, Patreon is a great place to help us out at. And we'll appreciate it. And we will keep the content coming. I will be gone next week on a trip. So I will see you in 2 weeks. Yeah. And I plan on bringing some VR apps.
Gotcha. And I did get pinged from Mark apologizing for missing the show. And Mark always listens to the shows. Mark, I'm just glad you're okay. Because it's been over a week since I heard from you. And I literally started to genuinely concern. And I don't like sending the email, Mark, are you alive? I don't want to be the guy sending that email. So thank you for at least contacting me. I will say I cannot emphasize enough. Everyone out there, support those who support you. It's like the thing that I've said basically since my first episode of anything on anything. Support those who support you. And what I mean by that is you can listen to celebrities. You can listen to people literally who get 20,000, 200,000 downloads a week. Yes, they should be supported, but I'm pretty sure a lot of them are over-supported. And what I mean by that is you're not supporting them. You're supporting a staff of 40, 60, 80 people to do that kind of stuff. Don't forget about the little guy. You know, it's good to go to the big box store and get that, you know, 80-inch flat screen TV, but it's also good to stop by the mom and pop shop and buy the locally grown corn or whatever to support the little guy as well. Support the little guy at least a little bit. And what I encourage you to do is to spread the love. I'm not telling you to support Podnuts. I'm telling you to support every small podcaster or media creator that you find entertaining for any length of time. If you listen to Podnuts for more than a couple months, I honestly expect you to donate. And by that, I don't mean money. I mean time. I mean an email. I mean a Twitter, a tweet, a Facebook mention, something. That's how support goes. That's how you can contribute to a bigger thing. Podnuts is a community of people, first and foremost. Everybody who listens is a honorary Podnutsian, in my opinion. Leo had the Twit Army, which I think went away. But with the Podnuts thing, we all are equals. It just so happens Eric's in front of a mic hitting record. Anybody who is a Podnutsian who wants to be on a show or who wants to start a show up, all you gotta do is let me know. Everybody gets equal respect.
I used to just be a listener for a long time. And honestly, Podnuts and Steve and Dor and those guys inspired me back in the day to really take the next step and open my computer repair business, you know, back when that happened. And, you know, I didn't even have a smartphone. Few years later, I got a BlackBerry, you know, and then I got an Android, and here we are.
Right. So there are always going to be constant changes to the network. The other way you can support us is by just once in a while going to podnuts.com and just looking around. seeing what's new, seeing what's different, because there's almost always going to be new shows in the network. Sometimes a new series of shows every 3 months, sometimes a new series of shows every 3 weeks. You never know. The goal is to constantly expand, and until we find a topic and redrain it for everything it is, you know, it is going to keep going on and keep continuing on, kind of thing. I want to thank everybody for all the support throughout all of the years. We're not done though, people. I don't see myself ever stopping doing this kind of thing, and I don't see any reason to get rid of Podnuts or move on from Podnuts, kind of thing. I'm sure that day might come, but that day is nowhere in sight. So I want to thank everyone again and just ask you, support those who support you.
Hey friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.